Tell Bracken I'm like a Bigfoot sighting. Catch me every now and then. But I won't spend a little with this thing. They told me it'd be like this. You just have good days and bad days. You may have a good few days and several days that are bad, but it's just a journey, right? So I had several bad days. So I don't know. I'm not sure. But I just know I woke up today, and TC was actually going to speak, and after a while, I thought, I think I can do that today, so let's do it. So it was kind of a last-minute thing. I love being here. My heart's with you guys. Oh, so whatever I say won't take too long. I was thinking of, well, Lord, let your word be, and your word is in us. Lord, give us, open the eyes of our hearts, give us quickening spirits, revelation of who you are. Lord, understanding that everything flows from that. Amen. Which it really does. Everything in the Christian life flows out of relationship, right? I love that. Everything we know, everything we do, first thing we're called to is to His presence, right? Read a couple of things. I was yesterday just pondering some stuff. You ever had your mind wander when you're trying to hang out with the Lord, right? Heard somebody say something yesterday about that. It was really cool. He said, man, I had such a problem with a wandering mind when I would get with the Lord. My mind would just wander all over the place. So he was talking to the Lord about it, and the Lord said, well, go get it. And so he said, okay. The next day, same thing. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, let's go get it. And he said he kept doing that. You know, let's go get this wandering mind. To eventually he got to the place to where his mind didn't wander as much, you know. It was more the wonder of His glory more than wondering, you know. So don't feel guilty about that, because if you do, go get it, right? Let the Lord go with you to get it. So don't let the enemy beat you up about that, because in His pursuit of us to be in His presence, right, He is way more committed than you are. So He's actually the one pursuing us. He's just ready for us to yield to that, right? But He said one thing too. God, listen to His life is not about reacting to the external, but rather responding to the internal. That's what life is about, right? Not responding to the external, but responding to the internal. Where we retract from the external to relax on the internal, to hear what God is saying, to know what God is like. We've heard that often where a bishop has said one prayer that God always answers in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, 4. Verse 4 is, draw me after you and let us run together. Right? Talking about in the chamber. The king brought me in and took me into chambers, which means different aspects of who he is. Right? And I love that whole book, because the whole thing, this the bride or Christian was transformed by speaking, by getting in his presence, hearing him speak. Right? There was a transformation that began to take place. She discovered who is this person? Who is this Solomon? Who is Jesus? Who are you really? And so he would bring her in, speak to her, and the transformation would begin. You know, and you see some stumbling in there like we all do in our walk. But the very end, you know, it's a word I had, I think, before I went down, is that there's nothing more important in your life than your vineyard. And she said this, my vineyard is at my disposal, and then hurry, my beloved. Okay, our vineyard, of course, is our where we cultivate. Excuse me, guys. I know that can be distracting. Someone drinking, but if I don't, I'll be spitting cotton up here after a while because my mouth gets so dry. But one of my favorite stories. You know, the first time God really reveals Himself in the Old Testament, His nature is to Moses, and it's after He called Moses up to Mount Sinai, where He gave him. You know, gave him the law, and he entered the glory cloud, and God just began to speak to him, you know, about this is what I want you to do. I want you to build a tabernacle like this. You know, gives all the whole law. The priests are going to be doing this. Hit this to the Levites, you know, all that kind of stuff like that. And then, of course, while he's up there, they're down there, not knowing who God is either, and they talk, you know, brave Aaron's down there, and he gets scared of them and ends up, you know, making the golden calf. Moses comes down after a while, sees what's going on, breaks the books, you know, and it's kind of an unpleasant thing there. But there's, after that, you know, is when God is going to show Moses his glory. And Moses would pitch, I love this, tent of meeting, pitch his tent of meeting outside the camp, and we know that's where Moses went, but Moses, this was new to him. He was going to start going, it said, where he would speak to God face to face, and God would reveal him. But I love that whole thing. That's in Exodus 33, and I won't read the whole thing, just a few verses. And the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, that's verse 11, as a man speaks to a friend. One of the scriptures that I was thinking about in the Song of Solomon, one of my favorite, I think it's 5:16, said this about who God is, who Jesus is, that his mouth is full of sweetness, and he's wholly desirable. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. So he used to speak to Moses. So as we're going through that, and as, you know, our journey, if you're hearing a voice speak to you that doesn't fall within what we're going to talk about here, then it's not the Lord. One thing I found out that he told him wasn't him. You ever had to wake up early in the morning, you know, go to the restroom? I'm talking about 2 a.m. or wake up early in the morning or something. Did you do this? Are stressed about something? Something's on your mind, you know, you should have done or shouldn't have done. I shouldn't have said that or shouldn't have done that or I wish I'd have done this, you know. Oh my gosh, I used to do that so bad. And I would be stressed. And I remember the Lord telling me that's not me. I'm not talking then. Go back to bed. We'll talk about this later. Usually with him talking about it, it was just to lift it off of him. But he changed that to where now I rarely wake up, not, you know, definitely not 100%, but way better. I rarely wake up stressed. If I do wake up thinking about something, I have conversation with him. Probably he's revealed more of himself during those times than when I'm up during the day, because it's really hard to concentrate and think. But after laying down, and he'll just speak the most wonderful things to me, you know. So this is, after he says this, verse 12, Moses said to him, Lord, you told me to bring up this people, but you yourself hasn't let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, here's what I pray to you, God. You're telling me that I have favor in your sight, okay? But here's the deal. I need to get to know you. I need to know your ways. If you want me to lead these people up, I need to know this person who is sending me here or speaking to me. I've got to know you. The truth is that all of us have favor. We hear that all the time, right? We all have the favor of Christ. You're all favored by God and loved by God with him, the maximum love you can possibly get already, right? Because of that, it's because we're in Christ. But just because we're favored like that doesn't mean we really know him. Jesus grew and, you know, he went off, slipped away and prayed. You know, you think, well, he didn't have to pray. But he laid aside his godness, became man, and he was always slipping away talking to the Father. So this is what God answered him and said. My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. See, that's one thing you know when God speaks, his presence, what it brings us into is a place of rest. You know? Then he said to him, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not lead us from here. For now, for how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not your going with us, that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people in the world? And the Lord said to Moses, I'll do this thing of which you said. You found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. Now he's saying, now you're going to know me by name, right? Who I am. Then Moses said, I pray God, show me your glory. That word glory is, of course, we know it's just who he is, the word majesty. Lord, show me your majesty. I'm all in. Okay? Show me who you are. Then God said, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. Right? That's pretty cool. Right? Show me who you are. And he said, okay, here is who I am. I'm going to make my goodness pass before you. But then, of course, he tells him that he can't see him face to face right now. Remember, he got to cover him. I'll just skip those over those. Behold, there's a place by me, or with me. This is real prophetic. And you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about while my glory is passing over you that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, cover you with my hand until I pass by. You see that, how he's just giving us everything in the Old Testament kind of points toward Jesus or toward the cross. Everything in the New Testament points back to that one thing that happened, right? Where he's placing us on the rock in Christ, where we'll always see his glory, be able to experience his glory. So then he tells him to cut two more tablets out, you know, and come on up here. In verse 5 of 34, Exodus, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, but abounding in loving kindness and truth. Word truth can also be faithfulness. Who keeps loving kindness? That's a word they had to kind of make up because it means so many cool things. His love, his kindness, his covenant, just on and on. Who keeps loving kindness, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, right? Another good place too, it's just all through here, place in Nehemiah, was Chronicles first. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 9. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate, will not turn his face away from you if you return to him. Then there's two more in Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 17 and verse 31, if you want to go read them. And God pretty much says the same exact thing as he says here. This is who I am, right? So that will be in this life as we walk, getting to know who we are in Christ. That's who we're going to be talking to. We're going to know these are the attributes of God, his glory, that he, as well as he wanted Moses to, wants us to get. Because see, the more you understand this about God, the more I get revelation about this, it seems like it just fixes everything, you know? All healing comes out of that. All healing comes out of knowing God's character. And one thing I found about him is he's never answered questions to me if I've ever been whining or complaining. Anytime I put myself in a place of victim, right? He didn't really speak to me. Never has. Unless you speak something just so crazy, you know? You know why? Because it's not his nature. He's hope. He's full of hope, right? He doesn't affirm our self-pity. That's not who he is. He loves to talk about who he is to me, right? So I've learned through the years just not asking the Lord, why me, you know? Made me think of that song this morning, Why Me, Lord. Y'all remember that from back in the early 70s? Chris Christopherson wrote a song, Why Me, Lord, you know? But it's not him complaining, why me, Lord? Why did you do this to me? It's like, why did you choose me, Lord? You know, Lord, help me, Jesus. Your grace is so good. I wish I'd have done it earlier in life. I just now knowing you. So one of the few Christian songs that became hits. So, and he really did at the time have a real encounter with God. So that is my encouragement to you. God is calling you and me to a place of rest in him, right? Rest internal, inward rest. And the guy who's speaking, it's Graham Cook. I couldn't think of his name for a second. I really like him. If you've never heard Graham Cook, I would encourage you to go listen to some of his videos and his teachings. One of them is about changing your spiritual lens, how you view God. You need to change your spiritual lens, right? And our view to him. And it's just been life-altering, right? He says about all of this, out of all these attributes, that he would say the one thing that stands out to him is how kind God has been to him, God's kindness. You know, you can talk to different people and they could say, well, God, his compassion, that was one of the things. But he wants us to know all of them because we have all of them. We have all this in Christ, right? His call is to, our number one calling in life is to be with him, to sit with him and say, okay, God. And this is what I had to do. This is coming out of me, is, all right, Lord, this is, you know, before I went down really hard on this thing, the Lord just really began to show me places where there was a disconnect, right? If I'm not hearing this, if I don't know God is this, then there's a disconnect there. I'm not saying I'm totally disconnected, but if I've never heard his voice speak like that to me, or to speak in kindness or compassion or gracious, mercy, loving, all this, forgiveness, right? Then the problem is not with him. The problem is on this end. See, with all grace, I say that. because I said, okay, Lord, here we go. Show me your glory. Show me these ways. And gosh, did he ever, right? I had a lot of clutter. Reminded me of a room we moved in a house when I was 17 on Lamar Avenue, older house, you know, and people who owned it took all their furniture and put it in one room with a big 12-foot ceilings, I think those older houses have, piled up to the top. That whole room was just full so we could move in this place. And I think about that a lot when I think about a verse in Timothy where it says, you know, in a house we have good vessels and bad, some to honor, some to dishonor. We have wooden vessels, we have golden vessels. And he says, but if a man rids himself of all of these, I used to read that as just the bad stuff, all of it, all of your clutter, golden stuff representing what's precious to me on the earth. You know, one thing that I found that walking in the wilderness would do, you know, or we could say walking through a time of suffering, which it did, is it will disconnect you from the world and make you cling to him, right, as the source of my life. And I see that happening. It makes me more excited. I've got such a long ways to go, but the transformation that's happened here, inward, worth it, right? It's just so worth it. And you get to the place to where you'll pay whatever price it takes. We see just in our ministry years ago, people come see us. We would, you know, ask them, hey, man, you want God to set you free? Yeah. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get there? What do you mean? You know, it's not going to go easy. But they're like, yeah, I'm willing to pay any price to get there. You know, not that you have to get a place where I'm just so hungry and desperate for God. He's given you his spirit. He's given you his heart. That's the new creation. You're there. You're in Christ. Now, go. Just go discover it. It's like standing. I told you all this before. When we first went to Disney World, I thought I would hate it. I really did. And I thought, oh my God, this is another place to, you know, I'll go for the kids' sake. But I end up really enjoying it. You know, the Magic Kingdom. Always makes me think about the kingdom of God. Because you go through the gate, reminds me of people getting saved. And you can spend your life there at the gate. You can be a gatekeeper, you know. You can do ministry from there. Be the gatekeeper and bring them in. But no, he's called you to explore the kingdom. So I think of that a lot. Remember, God speaks to me in pictures. That's how he gets through to me mostly. So show me your glory, Lord, right? Give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. That's what he prayed for the Ephesians. I'm sure he prayed for all the churches. Give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, Lord. Let me know the power of your spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. Let me know this. That's a daily prayer of mine. I pray for me and my girls, people, other people. All right, been a little over, but it's all there for you. It's all for the taking. The land is yours. You know, go possess it. Possess your possession, which is him, right? He's got wonderful things to say to you. And he never looks back. You know, it's another thing. God doesn't look back. He always looks forward. He always is like the God of the present. That's the reason Paul said, I press forward. I run forward, right? Never run backwards. He's taking care of your backwards. You never have to look back again, right? Amen? Okay, I better hush. I've been cooped up too long, y'all.